A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and apparently I've committed a lot of the same crime Shauna has.
That's right, Squeaky. We both lost our licenses, and this episode we're going to be talking about how do you save with pets. But of course, we always start with stories, so I wanted to share my stories of how I almost accidentally kidnapped...
No, own it. Own it. You kidnapped a dog or you didn't. Now, I almost kidnapped a dog, but it was kidnapping, right? And then I was driving down the street and saw just like four or five houses down. There was a black lab laying in the lawn. I'm like, what's Brick doing here? My neighbor's dog is Brick. And I get out and I look. I don't see any collar. I pick him up. I throw him in the back of my car, drive him up, drop him off in my neighbor's backyard and shoot him a text. I just left. I went to work. I kidnapped a dog. It's not an almost. I mean, my neighbor sorted it out with my other neighbor, but still. I kidnapped him.
So mine is, I'm driving home and I see my black lab in my neighbor's front yard. And I'm like, how did Marklar escape? So I opened up the door and I'm like, Marklar. And then he jumps in the car and I close the door drive home.
Hang on. You named your dog after a South Park joke? Mark. Yeah. You named your dog Marklar.
Yeah,
and then
my
this
brother
other
and
black lab that wasn't your dog responds to Marklar.
It was Marklar. Yeah.
It was Marklar.
It was Marklar.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
My brother and I, we watched that episode of South Park together and we're like, if we ever get a dog, we're naming him Marklar. And
Marklar.
We did. We named him Marklar. So I get home with Marklar and I open up the door and there's Marklar already home. And now I have two pretty similar looking dogs in the house. And then the neighbor pounds on the door and he opens it up. He's like, your kid, he's like yelling at my mom, your kid just stole my dog out of my front yard while I was watching her. I was like, okay, I'm not very good at thievery, buddy. You can have your dog back. So, but I have done this more than once with dogs of all kinds. I don't discriminate.
Wait, you thought your dog, which you should know what your dog looked like another dog.
Yeah.
At least that was my neighbor's dog, right? I've never owned a black lab.
I mean,
oh my god,
I could tell them apart once they were together. Like, oh yeah, that is not my dog.
Wow.
But you know, just yeah. So that was one time that I mean, I say almost kidnapped because he was like right on. Like as soon as he saw his dog get into my car, he got in his car and followed me to my house. And so that's why I say almost. Almost kidnapped a dog.
Oh, because you would have kept him if you... Like the five-minute rule. Once you've had the dog for 5 minutes, it's your dog.
No.
Right?
Once I realized it wasn't my dog, I probably would have gone back to that house and been like, hello, are you missing a dog? Because I have too many dogs in this moment. And I don't know how this happened, but see how they look kind of alike? Like a lot alike? Yeah, he was a good neighbor. He was great about it. But the other time I almost kidnapped a dog, I was driving down a busy street and this dog just like darted across the street. And I was like, oh my gosh, this dog is in danger. I need to help it. So I turn into the street where I saw it run into when it crossed the busy street. And then it was next to my car. And I have dogs myself, so I had a bunch of dog treats in my car. So aww. I tried to lure it into my car so that I could take it to someplace safe.
Good.
It wasn't going for it though. Like it would come up, eat the treat, but it wouldn't let me get close enough to grab it or anything like that. And I'm trying to get the dog to build trust with it. So this is like 15, 20 minutes of me building trust and rapport with this dog. But the thing that was a little weird is that the dog would start barking at me, but then would calm down and eat some treats, but then start barking at me again. And I was like, don't dogs only bark when they're defending something?
Well, that depends. There are dogs that bark for no reason. There's dogs that bark because there's too much food. There's dogs that bark because there's not enough food. There's dogs that bark because they, like, bark.
Well, I mean, the joke is that the owner, whose yard I was in, opens up the door, calls the dog's name, Wendy, and then the dog runs right in. So the whole time, their owner was just watching me try to lure their dog for, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Were they just cracking up the whole time?
Yeah. And of course, the dog isn't going to get in the car with me because the dog's already home. It doesn't want to come with me. But, yeah.
But this is just people should... all three of these stories would be averted if people would keep their dogs either in their lawn or on a leash, right?
Yeah.
My neighbor down the street had this electronic leash thing,
mm-hmm.
and he just let his dog into the front yard, right?
Mm.
But still, the dog can just leave if it just ignores the shock and the collar for the electronic leash, right? And the dog you're talking about where it shot in front of your car, right? If
right.
you'd been going 5 miles an hour faster, that dog would be dead.
Yeah,
right?
I think that dog was in a dangerous situation, but I can understand some dogs get bored. They're good diggers. If you're rehoming or fostering a dog, they can get scared and escape and not know where to go. So as much as possible, have a 6-foot tall fence and block points of escape. But also, it's a neighborhood thing. I don't think I've ever rescued a dog legitimately, but I think I should. I should be able to at some point in my life. I mean, I think I almost rescued a dog one time. There was a dog roaming around the neighborhood, and I went to one of my neighbors, and I was like, do you know who this dog is? And she was like, I think it's a neighbor across the street. I went to him, but he was like, no, my dog's not missing. Well, it turned out it was his dog.
And he was just a...
Yeah, and he went out...
Yeah,
as soon
a dip.
As
he was a dip.
He went out and called for it. The dog ran into his house. But, yeah... Anyway, so that's it for my kidnapping dogs as a story to getting into how to save money when you have pets or scams with pets. And if you have dog stories, cat stories, pet stories, we would love to hear them. Send it to thoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com and we'll share it on air.
Wait, how is this supposed to save money?
This is the story, Squeaky.
Oh,
story time. Story time.
I'll figure out episode structure one of these days.
Okay. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Oh, man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I know how to save you money big on your next pair of mittens.
Aw, that's great. Hopefully you'll share that with us, but this episode is about how to save money with your pets. And we've got some great tips. A lot of us are pet owners. They tell you, as a parent, one of the ways to get your kids to be responsible is to have them have pets. And then you end up taking care of that pet most of the time.
If your cat's sufficiently violent enough, it teaches your young kid how to fight.
If your cat's violent enough?
Yeah. I mean, if you got like a 3-pound Maine Coon versus a 2-year-old, it seems fair.
Yeah, I've seen cats take down toddlers. I had a black cat, Lucky, who would hide around the stairs at eye height. And then when you walked by, she would come out and bat at your face as you went by. You learned.
The bapping at eye height's kind of adorable.
Yeah. They also, these cats, when I was growing up, would also hide underneath the couch, and then when you sat down to watch TV, would attack your feet.
Aw, like attack, or just like grab and play with?
Grab and play with.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
We have Siamese cat, Loki. He's the tiniest little baby boy. He's like 7 Aww. Pounds. Aww. And he viciously, a couple of times, like trying to cut and bite, got at my ankle. And like I had like giant scratches and stuff while I'm on the stairs.
Oh.
And I like, ow, and it ran up the stairs. He didn't know what was going on. He's like, we're just playing. Claw, I'm bleeding all over the place. I got the spray bottle. Okay, now he doesn't do that anymore, but it took him a little while. He's not done the no-claw baps.
Well, the first way, I've got 5 different ways that you can save money with your pets. And the first one is bulk and discount on food. Because the most significant reoccurring expense that you can have with your pet is feeding it, right? Buying in bulk can save you a lot of money, especially if you store it properly to maintain that freshness. A lot of stores and online retailers offer subscriptions and discounts. Websites like Chewy and Petco provide auto ship. Warehouse stores like Costco have bulk food options at lower prices, and that's according to Consumer Reports. And this is what I do for my pets. I buy in bulk dog food and cat food from Costco.
I would pair that with the idea that you want to buy small trials, because I don't think anything would be worse than you go out and you buy a 6-pack of 50-pound bags from Costco, and then your cat hates it, right? That would be like the worst. Go buy the 10-pound bag, see if they like it, and then when they do, go buy bulk, right?
I mean, I'm so cheap that if the cat doesn't like the cheap food, I will start to do things to make the cheap food more palatable.
Yeah, but then you're out 10 bags of cheese or whatever.
I mean, I'll do things like put like tuna, a little bit of tuna smell like all over the food, and then just over time like lessen and lessen so that they associate the cheap food with the tuna. Like I've done this with cats, birds, and dogs where I'm like, you think you don't like this, but this is the cheapest thing there is, so you're gonna like it. Like
wow. And here I am with Loki. I'm, like, giving him the same water from, like, the human pitcher. I've got him 2 of his own ice trays.
Yeah.
Right? I have little Han Solo and Carbonite ice cubes I give him. And, like, he gets the purest filtered water. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, if I can get them to eat the Costco food, they're going to eat the Costco food. Like, I'm going to put effort into that.
What other ways do we have money. What are the ways we have to save money?
So the second way you could save money is preventative. Preventative healthcare saves money in the long run. I do take my pets in at least once a year for their vet checkups and make sure that they get their shots, flea and tick prevention, vaccinations, dental care. I think that is a key way to save money. It saves you from emergency vet bills later. According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, regular wellness exams can help detect health problems early, reducing long-term costs.
Oh, yeah. Loki has better health care than I do. He gets a checkup all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
The vet came and he was like, technically, I need to tell you this, that your cats are technically fat. And I'm like, that's great. Stop fat shaming my cats. They're fine. Like, there's no health problems with them. So I'm not putting the cats on a diet. And then they said that the cat's teeth were not in the best condition. So they recommended this pet food where there's these huge kibble. The size helps them when they eat it, like brush their teeth. But the bags are teeny tiny and super expensive, so I mix in the super expensive food in with the regular Costco food so that they get the teeth brushing effect, but I'm not spending $50, you know, every 2 weeks for these cats' teeth. All right. Well, the third way that you can save money is to groom your pet at home. Because if you have a breed where you need to get them groomed on a regular basis, like there's some dogs and some cats where their hair continually grows and so they need to be groomed, it can be an unexpected financial drain, especially for those long-haired breeds that require frequent trim. So learn how to groom your pet at home, including brushing, bathing, trimming nails. That can save you hundreds of dollars per year. The ASPCA provides online resources on proper grooming techniques to ensure your pet stays comfortable and healthy.
So you mean the pets that need more than just brushing? Because for Loki, he just needs brushes, right? But long hair cats, do they have to be trimmed?
Yeah, long hair cats and dogs, they need frequent trims. And this is something that you do have to train. Like we have a black lab mix, And my mom worked with this dog, Chip, to use a nail drill. And at first he was scared of it. So we had to like bring out the drill and give him a treat so that he started to associate, seeing the drill is a treat. And then we touch the drill to his foot and give him a treat. So he starts to be like, oh, the drill touching me, that gives me another treat. And, you know, and then turning it on and then turning it on and using it on his nails. So now he is trained for us to be able to trim his nails at home. And that saves us a lot of money because now we don't need to go get those trimmed.
Well, that sounds awesome. I hadn't even thought about taking an animal out to get claws trimmed. We used to have a husky, right? Mm-hmm. And we just we used to use the drill, but the husky stopped liking that. And it was like $10 to get the big snips. And they were a little hard to use. But, you know, give the dog a little piece of dried chicken. Boom, snip. Dried chicken, snip. And then the dog loves you for the rest of the day. They're like, can I get some more dried chicken? You didn't get these back claws. Can you do the back claws?
Well, did you see the viral video of somebody saran wrapping their head and then rubbing peanut butter on it and then taking nail clippers and then to their dog and the dog's licking the peanut butter while they're clipping his nails? Yeah.
Yeah. Another
way that you can save money on pets is to adopt instead of shopping for pets.
Aww, they're so adorable.
I know. And, you know, you might want to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store because you want that specific look, or you're like, oh, I want a tiny dog that looks like a bear, or I want a cat that has no hair or something like that. But adopting from a shelter saves a ton of money. Adoption fees are less, and they often include initial vaccinations, spaying, neutering, sometimes microchipping. But the Humane Society states that adoption can cost significantly less than purchasing from a breeder. And, you know, there's always pets in need that need a loving home.
The Humane Society is fantastic.
Yeah. Right?
And yeah.
And there's a lot of really great no-kill shelters. And I feel that the sign of a reputable breeder is the same thing as a reputable shelter. One of the shelters that I adopted my dog from said, if you have any reason with this pet in the future, you can always bring him back. And that's the same thing for reputable breeders who say these dogs are lifetime or these cats are lifetime guarantees. If you ever have any issues, bring them back. And I think that's a great sign, and we should do that more often so that we don't have overflowing shelter animals.
Yeah, I've never seen a shelter not be willing to take an animal back.
Well, the fifth and final way that you can save money, or at least prepare for your pet, is to use pet insurance or set up an emergency fund. Because unexpected vet bills are financially devastating, so having a plan is crucial. Pet insurance can cover major medical expenses, and setting up a dedicated pet emergency fund is another smart way to be financially prepared. According to NerdWallet, pet insurance can be worth it, especially if your pet is prone to hereditary conditions.
I don't know where I'm at. I haven't run the numbers on pet insurance, but the idea of a rainy day fund just for your pet makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
Back when we had the husky, surgeries were necessary a couple of times, right?
Mm.
But animal surgery is so much cheaper than human surgery. And I know if I say like $1,000 is a lot, right? If that seems like way too much for you, right? Then, yeah, get the pet insurance, but know that you're going to probably pay more. Or I haven't run the numbers. Maybe you won't pay more. But be ready to pay, you know, a couple $100 a month. But if you can save up a few $1,000 and keep it in an account that's bearing interest, you can just keep taking the interest out of that account and just save it for your pet to go to college.
Pet college. When you get a pet, or when your kids get a pet, you should be thinking about, you're probably going to outlive this pet. I mean, most reputable breeders that have pets that live, that could outlive you, like parrots or turtles, for example, before you can have that pet or adopt that pet, you have to have who the pet is going to pass on to make sure that there isn't any issues with pets. But most other pets, you're going to outlive it. So you have to think about, towards the end of this pet's life, it's going to be more expensive because you want to probably help treat it rather than euthanize it. And this
setting up a line of succession sounds way less problematic than euthanizing my turtle.
You know, it's hard because it's like, okay, the dog is 15 years old, has cancer. Am I going to pay for chemotherapy? Or should I just let it go?
Yeah, you have to ask, what is this animal's quality of life going to be in the long run?
Yeah. And I mean, one of the ways that I save money with my cats is they're indoor cats only.
I think it's just irresponsible to have anything other than an indoor cat, because all the numbers show that indoor cats live longer.
When I was growing up, I had two outdoor cats, and towards the end of... one of the cats just disappeared.
But man, back in the 1900s, we were less evolved on our social understanding.
The 1900s, right?
Like, yeah, unironically, but just today we know enough to know it's bad for society, right?
Well, I mean, I think it was bad for my cats because in one case, my black cat Lucky just disappeared.
Eaten by a falcon,
right? Then the other cat got hit by a car but managed to come home, had a broken leg. We paid $3,000, and this is in 1900s dollars. So there you have it. That's five ways to save money while giving your pet the best possible life. Smart shopping to preventative care, DIY grooming. Small steps can add up to big savings with pets. And if you want to tell us more about different ways to save money with pets, email us at penniespod@gmail.com.
Are we going to post pictures of Loki in the show notes?
Definitely. 1,000%.
Okay, I'll get you some pictures. Yeah.
All the pets we've talked about going to be seen.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save two pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor is getting both your pennies. That's so generous, Squeaky.
That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep, helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hi, I'm Squeaky. I actually have no comedic talent whatsoever. I drink a lot of funny juice.
It's all right, Squeaky. We have you because you're a Nepo baby, remember? Okay, so this episode, we're going to be talking about pets some more. And every episode, we have stories, we have savings, and now it's your favorite part for you to go into a fit of rage, Squeaky. It's scams. That's right. Scammers in the morning, scammers in the evening, scammers at supper time.
What are because we've killed them, strung them up, and eating them for dinner?
That's my pizza bagel scammer jingle.
I'm just imagining. I'll turn a scammer into a bagel pizza. We got this.
All right. Well, are you ready to hear about five pet-related scams?
I am. You don't kick the dog. No.
There's no dog kicking.
Okay. I don't want the dogs to be hurt in the scams.
Right.
I am ready to rage. I am.
Okay.
Actually,
kick
like
up the rage.
Furious.
Great. All right. Pre-furious.
Is that an emotion?
So,
pre-furious?
So.
Pre-fraught? Pre-furious? Never mind.
First scam. Online pet sale scams.
Oh, they just sell you a pet and it never shows up.
Right.
Oh.
This is
That's
social media websites feature cute puppies they don't have, kittens they don't have, exotic pets they don't actually have. They request payments up front via Y transfers, gift cards, or crypto. And then once you have sent that payment, seller disappears, pet never arrives.
Make sure you pay with something reversible. If you pay with credit card or PayPal, you can usually just claw that money back. Ugh.
Yep. The Better Business Bureau reports that there has been a surge in fake pet sales, with consumers losing millions annually. And this is the Better Business Bureau pet scam report. So how to avoid it? I think your tip is great. This is just buying things in general. But for this particular, pet scams always request a video call with the seller to see the pet live.
I mean, okay, yeah, yeah.
That's one way to cut
if
down on
scams. If you're insisting on getting your pet on Facebook Marketplace, insist on a video call.
Right.
Pretty soon we're going to be able to fake those, though, so there's got to be other ways.
Well, I could see somebody selling the same puppy to five different people you know. So,
oh no.
While that helps.
Okay, yeah.
Another way to avoid this scam is to verify breeder credentials via the American Kennel Club or local shelters. And do not pay up front without proper verification or, like what Squeaky says, a way to get your money back.
Show up, pay cash, grab the puppy and run.
That's how you make sure you don't get scammed this way.
Little guy, the first trick we're going to learn is run!
Okay, another scam is the fake pet adoption or rescue scams.
Okay.
And this actually happened not too long ago, where there was a national news story about, I think it was in Georgia, about this puppy mills that got busted. There was like 5,000, 6,000 dogs, and people all over were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'll take a dog. And then a bunch of fake websites popped up saying that they had dogs from this famous story.
Okay, where's the scam bit? Are they just lying again about not having animals?
Yeah, it's a fake rescue. They post sad stories. They use like the media stories, and then they request adoption fees and transport costs. Victims donate money, but no pet is ever delivered, or you're donating to a cause to rescue an animal.
Got
it's
it.
Not
so,
there.
So yeah. People might make like a fake charity and say we're helping people. So any advice we've ever given or will give about vetting a charity would apply here.
Right. So check to see if the rescue is registered as a 501c3. Look for online reviews and complaints, and visit the rescue in person when possible.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Okay.
Yep. The third type of scam is the pet courier and shipping scams. So how this works is that a scammer says pet is on the way, but they demand extra fees for insurance, vaccinations, or special transport, and you keep paying, and the pet never arrives.
Ugh. So much of this is just they're lying with extra steps. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yeah, it's pre-vet who you're buying from, and hopefully this won't happen.
Ugh. Right, so who you can rely on to help vet this is the International Pet and Animal Transportation Association, which I did not know existed before I was looking into this episode. And they report that scammers will impersonate legitimate pet shippers, so you have to verify shipping companies through the IPA. TA, the International Pet and Animal Transportation Association.
International Pet Association. IPETA?
Yeah,
God, they're so close. They could have. There's got to be a way.
They
International.
Were there. They're right
pet,
there.
International. IPET. Yeah, instead of association, they could have gone with society, and it would have been IPATS. IPATS the animal. How adorable! The logo draws itself. What are they doing? Yeah.
Come on, International Pet and Animal Transportation. Get it together.
We need more backronyms. That's the problem with our democracy.
Yeah. Anyway, so you can verify shipping companies through them, and then check for typos and poor grammar. And your tip, don't pay via untraceable methods like Western Union or gift cards.
Yep. That makes sense. Yeah.
So the lost pet recovery scam. Scammers will find your lost pet poster online and contact you saying that they found your pet, and they'll demand a reward or a shipping fee before returning the pet. And sometimes they've never really actually found your pet. They are just scamming you in a pretty vulnerable situation.
That's messed up. And this is like the exact opposite of the other ones, where like the other ones, they promise you something new and they know nothing about you. This one, they're targeting you.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yep.
Oh, man. This one's much harder to defend yourself from, because it's not like there's a registry of people who found your pet. And it's
and
super...
And I think that there's some Facebook groups that have just come together to be just like reuniting pets with owners.
Oh,
like,
that's adorable.
Yeah, so you should probably check to see if there's like a local... If you're a pet owner and you're worried about this, you can help find, rescue other animals, and if your animal escapes or is lost, you have a higher chance to reunite. Yeah.
I have some ideas for how to deal with that situation, but what are your ideas before I say some unhinged nonsense?
Okay, well, make sure that you do not send money without verifying the pet is there. So ask for like a clear photo with today's paper or a video of the pet, and using microchips and GPS trackers to improve your recovery chances.
Okay. asking someone who's trying, who's allegedly trying to help you for a picture with a recent newspaper is a little bit unhinged. It's not the 1900s anymore. Newspapers aren't just sitting around.
It's, well, the final way that you can get scammed with your pets, according to the research I have, it's fraudulent pet insurance or veterinarian scams. Fake insurance companies that sell worthless policies. Some scammers pose as vets, offering discounted but fake or harmful treatments. Consumer watchdog groups have flagged several fraudulent pet insurance websites.
Fake
Are
pet
you ready?
Medicine?
Are you ready
fake
for this acronym?
Oh, okay, hit me with it.
The North American Pet Health Insurance Association, NAPIA, warns about fake providers.
Okay, I can't get angry at the acronym because they're doing a good thing. Like, who sells fake pet insurance? You get insurance because you can't afford the thing. And then if your pet gets hurt and insurance abandons you, you have a pet and no
money because you've been paying premiums. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't help your pet. Your pet's going to... Oh, my... Ah,
all right,
Shauna,
so
if I'm ever in prison because I choked someone, it's because they did insurance scams.
Very specific reason to go to jail.
Yeah, but you know... They're going to be in my mugshot because the police will not be able to get my hands off of their neck.
Okay, well, other than going to the big house, how you can spot a scam and protect yourself is to only buy insurance from licensed companies listed by the North American Pet Health Insurance Association. Research vet credentials through the state veterinary boards and be skeptical of vets who push unnecessary or unverified treatments.
So I shouldn't have my pet's chakras aligned.
It might be, you know, pets need lots of stimulation in their environment, but probably not as a vet treatment. So... those are the scams, and you can report scams to the Better Business Bureau on, they have Scam Tracker.
Nice.
To the Federal Trade Commission, FTC report scams, local authorities, and pet welfare organizations.
I'm just worried about the FTC, if they'll be here by the time this episode's released. Hopefully they'll still be tracking it.
Yeah, because we do need our government. We do need consumer protections from everything, including our pets. So it's great when we can all come together. But if you have different ways about pet scams that we haven't mentioned or something you want to share with us about pet scamming, please send us an email at penniespod@gmail.com and we will share it on air so that we can all save money together.
Definitely don't email me the name, face, and address of people who've committed such fraud.
We want you on this side of the bars, Squeaky.
They let you have microphones in jail?